There for the first time, welcome to the Frustrated Grad Podcast. This is the flawlessly recorded production of Frustrated Grad LLC. I'm your host, Zach Hughes, the black dude who looks better in a hoodie than you would expect, and is my co-host, writer, movie fan, and guy who is not the guy next to the guy, but he's the guy dressed like a guy, disguised as another guy, Tony Hoffman.
I own several hoodies.
I would assume that you have less reservations about pulling that hood up and going outside than I might. But that's just an assumption. But that's just a theory. A film theory. What's going on, Tony?
Nothing much. I finally watched the first two episodes of The Gifted, X-Men show on Fox, and it's pretty decent. It's better than Inhumans, which isn't saying much.
But okay.
It's interesting enough to sort of follow a little bit.
Well, that's more than I can say I've seen of either of those shows, so.
You don't watch a lot of TV, do you?
I have a lot of stuff to catch up on, and I have an hour and a half block of African shows, African soap operas that I watch every day, so it doesn't leave a lot of extra time.
We could do a podcast on the African soap operas.
Yeah, I'm very well versed on Muvango, Scheme Psalm, and Generations, The Legacy. Those are the three shows I watch every day. They're pretty...
But you had a stroke there for a second.
No, I'm talking to the ancestors. I enjoy Muvango because they talk about that kind of spiritual African cultural stuff. Like, you'll actually see ghosts come back, ghosts of the ancestors, and they'll express their displeasure with their children. Anyway.
Just in time for Halloween.
Yeah. Just in time for your favorite holiday.
Your favorite holiday took place on the 10th this past week, didn't it?
Yep. Zachtoberfest. It was a sight to be seen.
What'd you do?
I worked. And then I came home and went and picked up some Lou Malnati's pizza. And controversy ensued.
Yeah, so you didn't like it as much as your beloved Giordano's.
Yeah, because there was a lot of, I guess it's just like with any of these superhero movies or anything like that. There was so much hype around it, and I heard the specific comparison like, "Oh, you like Giordano's? Yuck. You should try Lou Malnati's. That's better." So I got the Lou's Classic. I think that's
the tomatoes and the sausage.
Yeah, sausage and tomatoes. I liked it. I just didn't think it was better than Giordano's.
I think Giordano's is a very generic sort of tourist pizza. That's like the first place all like Chicago visitors go to.
I mean,
it's not as good.
I'm only judging based on my experience with Giordano's and like the first ever piece of Giordano's pizza I had was cold, and it was delicious. And I don't think I could eat Lou Malnati's pizza. maybe my vector for measuring this type of thing is off, but that's my gauge. Like,
was the topping on the Giordano's cold pizza that you loved?
It was sausage. I don't think I've ever had anything complicated with Giordano's because like. It's deep dish pizza, so it gets really expensive if you add a whole lot of stuff to it. So I generally just stick to a sausage.
That's what she said.
Strictly sausagely. Regardless, I can't say this in any way that wouldn't lead to a that's what she said, but like my mouth wants what it wants. And
it was like, cold pizza.
Like, I prefer my Pizza Hut, but I'm saying the gauge of like what I think is a really good pizza is one that I don't care about heating up. Like, I'm going to eat this because I can't wait.
It's interesting you bring up pizza because I went to the Little Caesars that's close by. I drove there on Friday night because I hadn't had it in a while. And I mean, it's not great, but you know, it is what it is for the $5. You know,
yeah,
medium pizza.
I think if you're looking for a pizza that's hot and ready and affordable, it's not a bad option.
I didn't even have to wait. I just walked in and said, "Give me a $5 pepperoni, a $5 sausage." The guy behind the counter went into the little oven there where it was all boxed up and sitting there, and gave it to me, and I was out for like a minute.
Yeah, I think that started to become a crutch for me because the new one opened up. It's been about a year now, but it opened up around the corner from me. So whenever I'm in doubt about what to eat, I'm just like, well, let's just get a pizza or two, because it's only, at most, it's like $10. So let's do that. So I kind of forget about like how good pizza can be. And like I said, I enjoy Lumanati's pizza. I still think when it comes to driving a far distance, when I went to Lumanati's in Flossmoor around me, it wasn't even actually a sit-down restaurant. It's just like you just go and pick up. So I was ready to sit down and enjoy my pizza. Then I had to drive back another half hour while waiting to eat this. So if I'm going to drive out of my way to eat, I'm probably going to just head toward Giordano's next time. But I enjoy the experience. And like I said in my post on Facebook, the wings were goddamn delicious. They were better than the pizza, in my opinion.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I
got the Barbie Lou wings. I think that's the pun they had on there. Barbecued wings. But they were like crunchy and savory. Like every bite had flavor in it. I enjoy that. I would go back. I would travel there and just get the wings next time, possibly. But yeah, that's my birthday experience. I'm very simple. I don't have parties or go out or anything special like that.
You don't enjoy celebration.
What am I really going to do if I have a party? The biggest thing that I'm going to be excited about if I was throwing a party, like, oh, what's that cake going to taste like? What food are we going to have? Like, let's just skip all the window dressing and just get to the food. That's what I want. Because like every week there's always like anticipation. Like, oh, we should go out and do this, and we should go see this, or we should go eat at this place. And then the thing that makes me most excited when I finally do those things is going back home. That's how I know I'm old.
Don't use age as an excuse. You've always been this way.
I've always been a hermit. Like, one of my favorite experiences as a youngster, which the Lumanati's wings actually reminded me of, like, these are so delicious. What do they remind me of? And then I remembered my very favorite childhood experience was walking to KFC, getting a 20-piece honey barbecue wings, going home and eating all 20 pieces by myself, along with one of those chocolate cakes while watching Snick. It was like my favorite experience, like laughing at Kenan and Kel as I stuffed my face with barbecue wings. So
I like their boneless barbecue honey wings.
I didn't even know they had the boneless ones. I just had the regular ones, but those were scrummed.
I don't know if they have them now.
Okay.
Some seasonal thing.
Yeah, but that was, man. Yeah. If like just how like a lot of people refer to JJ Fish, which is the restaurant chain in this area.
Yeah.
A lot of people refer to it as like JJ Chicken because that's what they get there. It's like, I'm just going to go for some Lumanati's wings, and that's going to be the thing that attracts me to the restaurant.
I don't think I've ever had the chicken from JJ.
That's the only thing I've had there because I don't eat
fish. Shrimp or the perch.
Yeah, the shrimp is good, but I think, are they all sharks now? Because I don't think I've seen a JJ fish in a minute, because all the ones around me have closed or converted to sharks.
The one near me that's in like the little plaza, it's still JJ at the moment. Yeah. There's like a shark that's like down the street.
Yeah, they have some really good chicken deals. You can get like 30 pieces for about $20. Anyway, enough about local food savings.
Speaking of, just to sort of stay on that fast food thing, did you go to McDonald's get your Szechuan
sauce? No, I've never been a fan of like Chinese food, specifically the sauces. So like, it doesn't appeal to me, even just from the hype from Rick and Morty. It's just like,
but I thought the Szechuan sauce was for like the little chicken McNuggets.
Yeah, but I'm assuming it's some kind of like sweet tasting sauce that you're supposed to dip your nuggets in. I don't like,
you know what happens when we assume, don't
as my brother says, you make an ass out of you, not me. But that doesn't make sense. It's like, no, it's you and me. Every like Chinese sauce that I've tried is just like, oh, the Chinese people have different taste buds than I do because I don't like this.
Yeah, we discussed this last week.
Yeah. I don't like sweet meats. That's the gist of it. But
apparently, McDonald's offered to have the sauce at like their locations, but some of them didn't even have them at all. And the ones that did had like less than 30 packets, so there was a mass hysteria by the growing, the more annoying by the day Rick and Morty
fan base
audience.
What is, like, who orders 30 packets of sauce? Like, even like your regular barbecue sauce, I'm sure they get like a truckload. So why would you cut it short for the Rick and Morty?
Why would McDonald's say that each of their restaurants would have these when they didn't? Yeah. Or they just couldn't have the supply.
Well, that's a problem with saying that for a franchise, because like each individual owner has to like order that stuff, I think. Because like they're a franchise, but they're independently operated. Like, there's a whole Black McDonald's Association of America. So maybe those guys were a little cheap, but not to pinpoint them. I'm sure a lot of people were just like, I don't see people coming in asking for sweet
McDonald's
and sour sauce.
McDonald's owns the land.
Yeah, it's, they own the land and you're renting, I guess, on their property or whatever, but they clearly didn't make sure everybody was on the same page.
Well, one young woman was able to, she got to a location early and she got like about 20 or so packets, and she was able to trade 20 packets in for a new car.
What? 20 packets? Was it one of those like trade up things, like the kid who trades different things in like upgrades, like, he started out with a bike, and then he traded to a boat, and then eventually he gets a car or something like that.
I don't know.
Or just Rachel, a direct 20 packets for a car.
Rachel Marie, a 23-year-old graphic designer from Macomb, she was able to get she drove 45 minutes to Detroit early in the morning and waited hours until the sauce became available at 2 p.m.
Right.
By the time that happened, there were hundreds of people waiting. She said the line soaked around the building. McDowell's location only had 20 packs available, but Marie and one of her friends were among the lucky tastemakers who got the sauce. Let's see here. She posted a photo of the packet on her like Facebook group. There was actually a large response with some nice messages.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. But if I could get a car, I thought, why not ask? The driven negotiator managed to find a person willing to trade a single Szechuan sauce, just one packet,
what?
For a 2000 Volkswagen Golf MK4.
Jesus Christ. What kind of crack act was this? I give you my car, man. Just let me get some of that sweet, sweet Mulan sauce.
He drove the car over so I knew it was running, she said, without revealing the man's name. He was a dedicated fan of the show and already had a second car. That's just, I mean, if you've seen the videos of like these shitheads, I think there was like this one video of like this moron that like got on top of like the counter at McDonald's and like stomping his feet and like freaking out. It's on the video is on the link
for, okay,
this story. Like, the good fucking guy. I think what's kind of like turning me off from even like watching like the rest of season three is that these dumbass fans.
This has nothing to do with the show though. That's the worst part of this is like the show is incredibly smart and it has some idiot fans, but
they're looking at
the show.
At Rick as this like fucking anti-hero, and it's like they're trying to like I don't know, like they're like taking what he's saying literally and they think he's cool.
But I feel like the show goes out of its way to like clearly paint that Rick is a bad person and Beth is a sociopath, his daughter, because she takes after her father. It's like that's one of the points of a specific episode. It's like I'm just like you and that's horrible. I guess a lot of people gravitate to that. The one video I did see regarding the Rick and Morty sauce was like, okay, here's the perfect way to enjoy Rick and Morty Szechuan sauce, and they just poured it down the drain. It's like they had like 3 packets and just like, yeah, there you go. I'm sure that triggered a lot of people.
These dumb fucks don't even know what it tastes like. They just,
yeah, it's just like, I'm assuming because I've had Chinese food before, so I'm just like, it's probably not for me. So like, I'm not gonna sit in line outside of McDonald's. So do you have to buy the sauce? Because like, usually when you get chicken nuggets, they just give you sauce. So if you're just coming for the sauce, do you buy it or are they handing it out?
I don't give a shit. How's that for an answer?
Because like, how does one person, like, if they have all these problems with supply, has one person at a location get 20 packets themselves? Like, they weren't rationing this out very wisely at all, but whatever.
Hey, did you see the trailer for the Rick and Morty porn parody, Dick and Morty, the XXX parody?
So creative. Dick and Morty. They couldn't think of a clever name for Morty, like Dick and, I don't know what Morty would translate
just
into.
Answered your own question.
But it's not my job to do that. I don't work for Wood Rocket or whatever the other porn parody production companies
are.
Sitcoms, I think is a website where they have a lot of these. Yeah, but like Dick and Porky, or I don't know. But usually for like the really lazy titles of the recent ones have been like, This Is Not Rick and Morty XXX. I guess they decided to not go with that one this time.
Pornhub and Wood Rocket have joined forces to bring their fans a live-action Rick and Morty porn parody, which is creatively titled Dick and Morty, the XXX parody. Wood Rocket is well-known for tackling famous nerd properties and boasts a deep archive filled with such hits as Dr. War, Bob's Boners, Strokeymon, 10-inch Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Fap to the Future.
What about Dick and Horny? That would have been better than just leaving Morty out. But, okay.
When Morty blows it again, get it? Dick recruits ex-girlfriend Unity to help him with his
business. Oh, I remember Unity. Okay.
In the meantime, Beth eases the pain of her divorce with a little help from the genitals of Mr. Me-Sex and Bird Person.
So Mr. Me-Sex is Mr. Me-Sex. Wait, so Bird Person is still just Bird Person? Why isn't he Bird Fuck Person? I don't know. There's a lot of work that needs to go into these translations into pornies, but I think they got kind of lazy on that one.
Dick and Morty will get you so squanched that you will touch her squanch until you squinch and will make you fill your pants with testicle Szechuan sauce.
That was a work of art with the. Yeah, a lot of porn parodies are just like weird because, especially like if you're parodying a cartoon, usually in a lot of these cartoon parodies, like most of the characters are related. So they have to like find random ways to like introduce side characters for scenes. And I guess that's what this is going to be about. There's going to be a lot of alien painted people having sex.
Yeah. The Full House parody is, I remember that from a couple of years ago. It's interesting when they take like family friendly properties.
Yeah, so I always thought it was weird. It's like, hey, how are you going to separate all these kids from the story? Because most of these people are underage. I will not be checking this out. Rick and Morty, you don't.
Why not?
They don't make me horny, so I don't think I'm gonna have. I don't think I want to see them have sex with people.
Rick and Morty doesn't make you horny.
Yeah, call me crazy. Maybe in the minority here, but this cartoon doesn't make me do it for me in that way. Strokey mind. It's just funny though, just for the title alone. I choose you. All right.
Happy Death Day came in first place at the box office.
Okay.
26 and a half million. Blade Runner not doing so well. It's second place with 15. It's made 60 million so far in a $150 budget.
Okay.
The Foreigner.
Jackie Chan. What is that movie about anyway? Because it, like, the title just makes you think, oh, it's about his. It's like his immigration story, but it seems like an action movie.
On the surface, it looks like a sort of Taken kind of ripoff, but I think that, like, he's he's like a former sort of like badass guy, but his family, I guess, gets killed in like a bombing, and then he goes after the people who did it, but he's like older. And,
so it's like a Charles Bronson movie.
Grizzled.
Or Steven Seagal, pretty much.
But I heard it's not there isn't as many action scenes as the advertising leads you to believe. That's so according to the reviews. This
is Jackie Chan's dramatic turn.
Pierce Brosnan is in it too.
So James Bond meets Jackie Chan. All right.
From the director of GoldenEye, Martin Campbell.
All right. The movie that inspired the game that. It's highly overrated by lots of people my age.
I have never played that game.
I know a lot of people love it, though, but I've never been a shooter player.
That's why I don't think I wanted to play it when it came out in 96 or whatever.
Yeah. A lot of people, I think, still play that to this day. Like, ew.
Apparently it's like one of the best Nintendo 64 games ever. I never played it.
Well, I'll never know. But yeah, I still do want to see Happy Death Day. It looks funny. And
Tuesday? Cheap fuck Tuesday?
Maybe on a broke-ass Tuesday. I do have, actually, it's going to be like double broke-ass Tuesday because I'll probably go to my local theater and I have one of those stamp cards where I'm going to get a free movie next time I go. And I was mad that this theater near me sent me, like, they sent their first advertisement since they changed management, and they sent it 2 days after my birthday. It's like, oh, all these perks, you get a free movie on your birthday. I was like, well, son of a bitch.
It's like they knew.
It's like, all right, that's just great. I could have had two free movies because I would have had my stamp and my free birthday movie, but whatever.
Whatever. I probably won't be going to the movies until Thor Ragnarok comes out, and then
when is that actually?
I believe that's the first Friday in November.
Okay. There was a, like, they keep trying to spam me with these trailers because I was watching SNL last night and the trailer.
Spam me.
The trailer for it started
November 3rd, by the way.
Yeah. So the trailer for Ragnarok started airing, and I just muted my TV and closed my eyes. So I was like, no, I can't. Like, I've seen too much of this. Like, I've seen two full trailers already, and then here's another new one. Like, that's too much. But they can't avoid just giving away everything in the movie before you see it. I don't like this trend.
I still haven't seen the fucking... The newest Star Wars trailer. I don't want
to. Yeah, because I've heard specifically that this is like spoilerish, and doesn't.
And I've avoided all the thing pieces that pick every little thing apart. I don't understand the stupid memes of like whatever little furry character that's in it.
Yeah, it looks like a rabbit or something, like a deformed rabbit. And I don't want to know, like, okay, yes, that is clearly made for toys, but I don't need to know any more about it.
Like, people are like already giving their like thoughts and opinions on it without even seeing the fucking movie. Like a couple of seconds of footage.
Like, I'm going to write 500 words about this one screenshot. Like, all right, good for you.
It's the new Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah. I haven't heard him talk. Hopefully he doesn't have some kind of stereotypical accent. He's going to come out talking like a Scottish voiced person, like Fat Bastard from Austin Powers. It's going to be the new thing that people are outraged about.
Speaking of trailers, you wanted to talk about the New Mutants trailer. That apparently, from what I've heard, it's more of a horror movie than a superhero.
So have you seen the trailer yourself?
Nope.
Okay. I usually avoid these type of things, but I just saw a title because I follow a lot of reaction channels, and I saw the title. I was like, oh, New Mutants. So this should be fun. It's going to be about young X-Men. Maybe it'll be
the New Mutants.
Yeah, maybe it'll be like younger people, like the kids we saw in Logan. That'll be interesting. And then I see it, and not only does it have one of the older kids from Stranger Things as one of the mutants, but people keep saying, and that's slightly misleading, say it's more of a horror movie. No, this is a straight up horror movie. Like, I don't even understand how this is remotely connected to the X-Men universe. They literally have a scene with faces pushed through walls. Like, you know, if you just have like a latex wall and somebody pushes their face through it, like Freddy Krueger. Mm-hmm. I was like, wait a minute. Like, what does this have to do with mutants at all? So that it's weird for that. And it's literally edited like a horror movie trailer. Like, just like jump scare, loud sounds, like whenever somebody jumps out. I mean, the one thing I'll say about it is interesting that they're taking a different approach in the Fox, Marvel, X-Men universe, because like a lot of the movies have been just like weaker versions of the same idea over and over again. But I don't know if this works for me. I feel like they took a page out of their own playbook of being like, you know, Josh Trank wanted to make the Fantastic Four like a body horror movie, but we forced him to make this kind of superhero epic at the very end of it, and that didn't work. So let's just make a straight up horror movie from beginning to end. We already screwed this one up that could have been promising, but let's just do another one.
I'm just sick and tired of just superhero epic movies. I'm so sick and tired of like the same, oh, you meet these characters and then there's some conflict and then they learn to work together and then they have a third act CGI fest against whatever disposable bad guy there is, and then
I feel like that
set up a sequel.
I feel like that format though, the earlier part of that, like people get together, they learn to be a team, and then they break up right before the finale. Like, there's lots of movies that have that format that aren't even superhero movies. Like, I'm sure you could see that in, like, Bad Boys 1 and 2. Like, okay, they're mad at each other, and then they get back together. Like, okay, you know what? We gotta take on this crime boss. But, like, yeah, a lot of these movies are the same. I feel like with Marvel, they started to learn, like, okay, we've done that story over and over and over again. At least we can get to the next chapter of that and just start off without any introductions and any of that stuff. So I feel like following the ongoing series of the MCU, I have less of those complaints. But like with everybody else trying to catch up, they're still going back to that blueprint, and that's not interesting.
I'm more excited for the New Mutants than I am for the X-Men Phoenix, Dark Phoenix bullshit.
Yeah, has there been anything put out about that or any trailer or anything?
No, they're still filming it now, okay. But it's like, I don't think fucking Sophie Turner is good as Jean Grey. I hate the fact that the Dark Phoenix is already inside her instead of being something from space.
Yeah, it's a separate being. It's not like, hey, it's her Super Saiyan. Like, no, that's not happening.
I hate the fucking Bryan Singer X-Men movies and Mama. The Mystique fucking is annoying, like, third-ranked character all of a sudden is like this important part of like the X-Men and like
mutant survival. She's
exactly.
It's Katniss. We got to put her front and center. At least with the one good thing I could say about X-Men Apocalypse, aside from like all the trailers and everything that made it look like Mystique was the leader of the X-Men, that wasn't really the case there. They just showed her more than they should have and showed her without her blue skin for more scenes than they should have, but it was still kind of a swerve just to sell the movie. Like, okay, we got Jennifer Lawrence. We got to get people in the theater, and then we'll reveal what the story really is after the fact. But still, that was still a big turd of a movie anyway. But yeah, I'll check out New Mutants, but it's still weird to think like, okay, all right, so Deadpool's going to show up at some point, and then there's like all these old people from Days of Future Past who somehow jump 10 years at a time in between movies. They're going to eventually catch up to all this horror stuff. How's this going to tie together? And how are they going to wedge Logan in there, even though he's dead in the future?
Yeah, or gratuitous Logan appears.
Yeah, and so many questions, but I guess that's what they want you to have. Like, okay, at least get them in the theater from curiosity. Whether it's good after the fact is, it's up to chance, I guess. But anyway,
would you like to know how a fart became Berlin's weirdest policing scandal?
I really would. What is the story behind this infamous fart?
Over the past 18 months, a crime scandal has been rocking Berlin. It's one that so far has required the work of 23 officials, necessitated a court appearance, and this week provoked protests from a politician on the floor of Berlin Senate. It's the unusual nature of the crime that has provoked such controversy and upset. It wasn't an act of violence against a person, a case of damage to property, or a fraud. It was, in fact, the crime dates back to the early part of last year. February 2016, officers from Berlin's police unit, 32, demanded the documents of a group of people in the city's Bragerstrasse, a street formerly populated by squats that remains a rallying point for Berlin's counterculture. Let's see here. The police came there on being asked for their IDs. One member of the group broke wind, twice in fact, furious that the officer's honor was under attack. The police took action. After an inexplicable delay of 12 months, the defendant received a fine for his apparently insulting behavior. The amount to pay was the equivalent of $1,065 in American currency. So I guess like there were some people and some police there.
Like the protest.
And they tried to arrest him.
So like, I'm just thinking about the fact that it was a 12-month wait in between the incident and when the fine showed up. So
it lingered for 12 months.
I'm just picturing like one of the cops involved like wakes up in a cold sweat. He's like, and his wife looks over like, was it the dream again? He's like, yeah, with the fart. Yeah, you got to do something about this, honey. And then he finally goes and escalates the situation. Yeah.
Dubbed the crazy toot trial by local media.
Adair poops process. So I guess poops means fart.
The case provokes an obvious question. Why bother? It's possible that you had to be there to appreciate the true monstrousness of the flatulence. The true monstrousness of the flatulence in question.
Without having been present for this trial.
Yeah, exactly. Without having been present, it's hard to see the justification of initiating a huge fine against a citizen for something so common. Not only does it look like bullying, is a huge waste of time and resources. According to an inquiry requested by an East Berlin senator this week, the case took up more than 17 official working hours. It led nowhere. After refusing to pay, the defendant was summoned to what may well be the first ever Berlin court case that hinged on a fort, only to have his case dismissed by the Magna Street in under 10 minutes. Berlin may be a relatively safe city, but it's not so crime-free that its police can waste time punishing people for inappropriately expelling gas in the general direction.
I mean, usually with situations of police and protesters, there is gas used to disperse a crowd. For the first time, the tables have been turned, and the crowd is the one using the gas attack. So,
I'm just trying to think, like, if you farted on a cop, like, in America, like,
probably beat your ass. Kind of fine. You wouldn't get fined, he would just beat your ass and move on.
But then, like, what legal ground would, like, could you, like, sue the police for, like, what exactly did you do?
I mean, it would be, the trial would be on the opposite side at that point. It'd be the victim suing the police, and the police would have, as their defense, the guy farted on me. I felt threatened, and then they would lose that case. But
he was afraid the fart put his life in danger.
Yeah, it was a biological weapon. I mean, which technically is
chemical warfare.
Yeah. Don't fart on cops in Berlin or anywhere else.
I'm trying to think, like, when you look at, like, some of the police officers now, like, how can they, like, beat your ass when they're, like, fucking 50 pounds overweight?
Well, that's why they shoot people, because they don't want to chase them. So I think that's maybe our epidemic isn't police violence, it's police obesity. Maybe instead of, like, I'm going to form a parallel protest movement, and we're going to march alongside Black Lives Matter, and it's just going to be Stop Obese Police, and that's going to be our chant.
Obese police.
Stop obese police. Trim that bacon. Yeah. Anyways. Farts are dangerous.
Farts are dangerous. There's a story here about a guy who's like a huge rock fan, 53 years old. He killed himself after
the rock or rock and roll.
Rock and roll. He killed himself after tinnitus left him hearing country and western music all the time.
Oh, tinnitus, I believe it is. But yeah, so that's, yeah, I know a lot of, like, people, like, rock musicians will get that. Like, they'll basically blow their ears out, and, like, a lot of session musicians and people who, like, have headphones on all the time will get that. That's a hell of a...
Glenn Mitchell, 53, of Northampton, took his own life just 12 weeks after being diagnosed with the debilitating condition. Let's see here. The diagnosis, which was caused by listening to a noisy band at his local pub. It got so bad that the retired firefighter couldn't turn the bathroom light on as the noise of the extractor fan.
Oh.
The extractor fan hurt his ears. That's even the sound of a boiling kettle was too much to take. Wife Linda said her formerly happy, healthy, and fun-loving husband completely changed after suffering a mental health breakdown as a result of the ordeal. She said before he took a fatal overdose of painkillers, Glenn had such a severe physical reaction to sound that even her breathing caused him pain.
All right. Maybe that's just maybe that was his sneaky way of, like, asking for a divorce. Like, your breathing is killing me. I can't stand it. But yeah,
it all started when Glenn went to their local pub to watch a live band. They play modern rock music like The Jam, whatever. That sort of thing. But they were very loud to the point where we just walked out. What followed was heartbreaking, frustrating, and ultimately unnecessary. As the tinnitus continued, Glenn became exhausted. He cherished silence at bedtime because of the various noise he was suffering from, as well as ear pain and spasms.
Maybe you should wear earplugs. That might help.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be, like, a story about he kept hearing like country music and it made him kill himself. But now I see that it's something completely different.
It's much less funny. But yeah, I feel like that's it's a tragic story, man. Your love of music is your undoing. That's why a lot of people like long-time concert goers end up with these like ear conditions, because you sit in front of the speakers, get completely blown out. I even had that issue at I think it was a Childish Gambino concert where I had to reorient myself. I was like, oh, we're way too close to the speaker. It's like you have to be like almost like at the optimal position, like right in the middle of the arena in certain places, because you want to get the sound from all sides. And I get blasted out by bass, but you know, some of these standing room only situations, you don't have that option. I feel bad for the guy.
At least you're close to the speaker.
Yeah, that's just, it's not a good look. It's not, not smart. But, one thing I was thinking about was, speaking of music, have you heard this, have you been following the trials of the artist SZA? Are you aware of this artist at all? She's the one who has that song, low, 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 low. That's my interpretation of it. But her new song, I keep hearing like every time I turn on the radio, is it's about keeping your man happy on the weekend. Like, it's from the perspective of a side chick. And a lot of people are...
perspective of a whore.
Yeah. It's just like, I keep hearing this. I'm like, really? This is like, this is what our community is responding to?
Yes, it is.
Because I listened to the album, and the thing I was prepared based on that first single. I was like, I'm not going to like this chick. She doesn't enunciate at all when she sings. But then I heard more songs. I was like, wow, she sounds exactly like Amy Winehouse when she actually like opens her mouth. So like, well, I enjoyed this part of the album. Then I heard that song. I was like, this is just horrible. I don't agree with the moral stance of this song, which is probably not the perspective I should be listening to music with. But
no.
As soon as I heard that as a second single, I was like, of course it is. Like, of course this is what people really responded to. And I've seen a lot of people post on Facebook, like, y'all out here singing about being side chicks. Like, a lot of people have, they have their little think pieces about it. And I just think it's a shameful state of affairs when this is the type of thing that is celebrated in our community. Like, song is about, you
what,
have
what's him. Wrong? You want all the girls in the community to, you know, aspire to be, you know, palm wreckers and fucking.
No, that's not quite, I don't think that's what, all of the people who wore the I'm with her t-shirts, I don't think that's what they're hoping for. That I don't think that's the better world that they envisioned.
We need polygamy.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even, polygamy would be like a respectful version of it. The song is clearly saying, like, you have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I keep him happy through the weekend. It's like, I don't know if he really was keep him satisfied through the weekend. It's like, well, he's going back to his other woman. So clearly something was missing. it's just a shame that this is the type of thing that people are singing along to in their cars on the way to work. Or maybe I should just join in with most other people my age and stop listening to the radio, because I get pulled further and further away the more I listen to it.
Hey, guys can be side pieces too.
Side guys, side dudes. That movement would be, I guess it would be empowering to some extent. Like, hey, I'm the other dude. Yeah, because I feel like this is...
I don't know if that's the word I
would use. I mean, when you have things like Amber Rose doing the slut walk and trying to end slut shaming and things like that, guys coming out and declaring their stance as the other dude, maybe that would be a similar movement. But I don't know if it's exactly Yeah, the dick in a glass case. Although a lot of people do subscribe to that idea. Like, friend zone type guys are like, one of these days, it's going to be my turn. Like, he's going to screw her over bad enough, and then I'm in there. Which I think is it's just a bad motto to live by. And I would advise against it.
People are horrible.
Yeah. Speaking of radio.
Speaking of which.
Yeah, go ahead.
Radio. No, you go.
I was thinking about friends of ours who are, I don't know who all was there, but we missed a big event yesterday. We missed I think they call it the High School and College Media Conference now. Like, they keep changing the name. For my day, we used to just call it the IBS conference.
Back in my day.
And then I would always chuckle because I thought about irritable bowel syndrome. And then they then they changed it to the High School and College.
Hence the name change.
Yeah, then they changed it to High School and College. I think it was just radio conference. Now it's the High School and College Media Conference, which goes along with the trend of like.
Because radio is dead.
Yeah, basically. And it's like, I saw a thread on the Columbia Radio Department page because they changed the name to Radio Program instead of Radio Department. And people were like, oh my God, is the radio department disbanded? Like, well, not exactly. They put a positive spin on it. The person was
how many fucking radio jobs are there?
I mean, there's none.
Going to school for...
I mean, there's a handful of jobs, and then somebody in Ohio is doing all of them. And then it's just being voice tracked across the world. But like, so they're rolling it into everything else because, like, hey, if you do manage to get a job in radio, you're going to be voice tracking. You're going to have to Snapchat. You're going to have to tweet. You're going to do all this stuff in between playing songs or doing commercials or whatever else you're doing. And you can't.
Because, like, the stations that are still, like the jobs that are available, they're still, you know, being occupied by people who have been working in it for years, and they're not, yeah. You know, they don't want to leave anytime soon. And, like, the ones that are available are, like, you know, per diem, like part time, like, yeah, paid significantly less than temporary.
And that's why I get a little bit triggered whenever I hear people complain about millennials and their work ethic. Because, like, on one hand, I hear the complaint, like, millennials don't want to work, they're lazy, and they're not doing traditional jobs. And number one,
stupid bullshit.
Yeah, my argument for that is, like, number one, like, they can't even get these jobs when they go out for them. And then, like, you have all these old people. There were the same people who would complain about millennials not working, who are hogging up the jobs that these, like, entry-level people should be getting into. And then the other argument I hear is that millennials change jobs too often. It's like, okay, when you get into these jobs, they want to pay you minimum wage.
Your position has been eliminated.
Yeah, position has been eliminated. You get paid minimum wage or less in terms of radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, okay, if I want to get paid any more, I have to leave this place. So, like, people are like, okay, I've worked here two years. Let me hop. Like, that scene is such a bad thing. But it's like, I subscribe to the, if I were to try to stick with the industry, which I clearly did not because it wasn't secure. But the philosophy that I learned from Don Black at one of these conferences, I thought was a smart way to look
Donnie
at
Black.
It. Big D, as he's called. But he says, like,
big
okay,
dick.
You should always plan on getting out of, like, at about your third year at an employer, you should have your exit strategy in place. And I'm paraphrasing, but you pretty much need to be looking at the exit or the next step up at about 3 years. So I feel like that's a smart way to do it because, like, if you move up and up and up, then you'll be eventually you'll be the host of TRL, which I feel like is like the peak of your goal when you start your job.
But what is
Kiss FM?
Well, what's going to happen after TRL is canceled before December?
Then you host Late Night with Carson Daly, starring Eric Zachary. I guess it would still be called Carson Daly Show, though. But yeah, I feel like...
Do you regret not going to the conference yesterday?
I don't think so, because like one of my worst experiences at a conference, I mean, I guess it wasn't bad per se, but it was demoralizing. I forgot who it was, but it was a pretty notable like radio personality. But they came to a conference and basically the gist of, I think it was actually one of the keynote speakers, but the gist of what they were talking about was like, when you go to college, don't get a degree in radio. That's the last thing you want to do. Get a degree in something else. And if you want to try to work in radio, then you can do that on the side. And like all of these radio majors, like majority of them who are about to graduate, like you're saying this to them, like, know your audience, dude. It's like, oh, you've completely wasted your time. There are no career prospects and the world is going to end. That's basically like what the speech was.
We're trying to fucking, we want these kids to like, you know, study this.
Yeah, especially like with this conference, like you have like one portion of the audience is all the radio majors at Columbia who are like getting ready. They're at least a good chunk of the way towards graduation. Or you have all these high school kids who you want to come to Columbia and go to the radio program, and they're like, you just turn them all off from that idea. But you know, I guess it's realistic, but it was very bleak. But I feel like I would be like torn if I had to give advice to people like wanting to get into radio as a career, because it's like, hey, it's what I always wanted to do growing up. Yeah, I mean, but it's not
secure. Do it if you love it, but yeah, do it if you love it, if you really enjoy doing it, but don't expect to like be a big, don't expect financial security.
Yeah, and then it's
expect
like,
expect lots of struggle, I guess, and unemployment.
Yeah, unemployment, yeah. Struggle. You have to be very self-motivated in this type of industry.
Do stuff for free.
Yeah, like per se, a podcast that you record every Sunday. That there may be no light at the end of the tunnel as far as monetization, but you do it for the love. Not speaking from any kind of experience at all. That's why, like, whenever I've talked to people a little bit about this, like, I know people from ICB and stuff like that, and the other people I work with, even interns, they'd be like, okay, this is what I want to do. And I would kind of hedge my advice being like, okay, you should do it, but don't rely on like getting hired per se. Like, if you want to make radio, you should just make radio. Like, you should just do it yourself. If you get paid along the way, then that's great, but you should do it more for the passion. And you may want to supplement that with actual and regular employment.
Make love, not radio.
Yeah. Or make love on radio. Then you can be hired on Sirius XM for one of those Playboy channels. But I'm kind of disappointed that I didn't go to the conference just to see like what the differences are, since there's less of a focus on radio specifically. But overall, I haven't really seen much benefit for myself. Looking from a selfish perspective, I was like, okay, maybe I'm gonna network this time. And then I'm going to get a contact, and that contact's going to get me the job I've been waiting for all of these years. And it's like, nah, that doesn't happen. It's just a...
It's basically a place where you can get, like, free swag and maybe, like, one of those drawstring bags or, yeah, like, some bumper stickers and shit.
Yeah, I think there's even less of that now. Because even, like... And the, most of that stuff is all just Columbia-specific stuff. And, like, I have a closet full of Columbia bags. I don't know if I need any more. I feel like the better swag comes around manifest time, even though I can't even get that anymore because I don't visit down there as much, because Mary from the radio department used to be my hookup for that stuff. But I haven't stopped by to visit in a minute. But yeah, so that's good, what's going on in the world of radio from the third largest market, which seems to be getting smaller and smaller. Like, sure, we're still market number three, but how many people on the air in market number three are broadcasting from Chicago? I find it hard to listen to. Like, I'm always looking for content in the morning because, like, I want to get into a car accident while I'm trying to find the perfect podcast. So sometimes it's just easier to try to tune into the radio. Like, okay, who's talking about something interesting? GCI is usually where I land for like a couple minutes at a time. Then they'll play some of that horrible music that they play and I'll turn away. And then I'll land on Power 92 and then I realize, hey, Ricky Smiley's not even broadcasting from this state. So screw that guy. It's weird to be in such a huge market, but it doesn't feel like the market itself gets the respect it deserves. But, you know, it's just radio complaints from an
just
old,
put
old
it
man.
On, just put it on WXRT.
I mean, I listen to that a fair amount of the time. I don't know if any of their, like, talk content is appeals to me because it's all just, like, either old rock trivia or just like random stuff like that, but the music is cool.
Do they still do the does Marty Leonard still do the regular guy movie reviews every morning?
I don't think I've heard that. I've been very narrowly focused because I didn't listen to XRT for a long time until fairly recently. I've tried to diversify my tastes, but yeah, I don't think I've run into that in a while.
I would listen to that because I would never listen to like B96 or Kiss FM, their shithead DJ morons.
You mean Fred in the morning? this is my radio name, Fred. Like, oh, that's very confident of you.
Do you remember like that feminine voice guy that used to do the mornings on Kiss FM? What the hell, Drex?
Oh yeah. I forgot about Drex. What happened to that guy? Feminine voice. That was a very good
expert. Swallowed on the cock.
I've thought about him in a while. I'm trying to think when's the last like good morning show that I was like, I have to tune into this every morning. It's been a long time.
Howard Stern.
I started my love of radio around the time of Howard Stern leaving, actually. So I was listening to Man Cow. It was like the fallout from that. And I realized how much of a mistake that was in hindsight.
What's the matter? You didn't listen to him now?
I can't even imagine what Man Cow's talking about now. The one thing I do think is cool, I don't have CLTV.
Conservative stuff.
Yeah, this is crap. Waterboarding himself. Anyway, I do like that. Is it WGN, I believe? They're filming their shows now and just simulcasting on CLTV. I would like to watch that because.
You like that fucking. What's his face? Steve Cochran, that awful bullshit.
I don't think I've listened to him at all, but I listened to Rokan. I thought he was decent. I've always been kind of a fan of Steve Dahl. I don't know if his show is one of the ones that's getting filmed.
He's an asshole.
Yeah, he was like, it would be unfair to say I met him just the one time, but he walked past me once.
He just walked by us. So, yeah.
Yeah, when we interned.
Fat piece of shit.
So, I thought the show was interesting just because it's just like a meandering wander around
some
topics,
yeah.
Which is kind of, it's kind of the type of show that appeals to me. I don't like somebody who has a real hard stance. It's like, well, I can't get into your worldview at all. It's just like a dude. So that's what, enabled me to listen to his show for a decent amount of time. When he tried to do like stupid voices and crap like that, I was just like, okay,
did you ever listen to his son's show that he had? I think it was like Sunday Nights or whatever,
the one that he hosted with Brennan
on an old CKG.
I don't know if I listened to the show, but I think they had a podcast, which I'm
assuming college radio.
Matt Dahl and Brennan, like Welcome to the show. I've never been able to pull out my Brennan impression, but I always thought his voice was just like, how did they let him get on the, like, I'm thinking he just blows out his head. Like, Steve, we got some more information about that story you were just talking about. I just thought that that voice is just like, it's quite distracting. But yeah, so that's Chicago radio. It's getting worse and worse by the day. I don't know what there is.
Which is why I don't listen for. To it.
I feel like WGN has more stuff that I would potentially listen to, kind of like the old CKG, but it's just like there's big gaps in between
you
things.
You love politics?
I don't enjoy you love politics.
Politics and the conservative-leaning sort of like suburban cream pie.
I'm just thinking like, okay, I would listen to Amy Guth. I enjoy her show. I have to listen to the podcast because I don't even know when she's on the air. Yeah, like I'm pretty okay with Steve Dahl. I'm all right with. Wait, is Rokon? He's a GN now, right? So I listened to.
Yeah, and Dahl's on the internet or the podcast, right?
I thought he was on GN.
Or is he on
still.
WLS and shit?
Or is it LS? I can't remember.
Steve Dahl's never been on WGN.
Oh, that I mix him up because he sounds like that type. Because I remember he was on the same network with Rokon, but Rokon is gone, and now he's on GN. But either way, there's like the shows that I would listen to on either of these stations are few and far between. So it's just like on any given moment, I feel like you have to be at the right place at the right time. It's like, okay, garbage. Okay, now I can listen. It's just there's no consistent station.
I'm just tired of political fucking talk.
Yes, it's just like, hey, conservative talk radio host, you won, so can't you just quit now? Was it that a point of their job is just to complain? Like, hey, your guy is in there.
Defeated the feminazis. Yeah, exactly. The feminazis, racism is over. You know, you won.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, Rush, like, what do you have to complain about now? I guess now it would just be, I haven't listened, but I'm guessing it's just like North Korean propaganda radio. Like, today in the world of our glorious leader, the Honorable President Donald Trump, here's what he had for breakfast. Giant piece of chocolate cake. Who knows what they're talking about now, but I feel like radio is pushing me more and more away from it. NPR is okay, but still like, very boring at times. like all the good content on NPR, I feel like is pushed to the weekends now too. Like, there's nothing as good as like Wait, Don't Tell Me or any of like their live, like performances or anything like that during the week. It's just like world news. Like, here's who got blown up overseas today, and we're gonna talk about it with a professor from a college you can't get into. Anyway, I feel like we've got on to a tangent on radio issues. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on? Is there anything else you wanted to hit on before we wrapped up?
No.
All right. So, during this pledge drive that we're having on FPR, Frustrated Podcast Radio, how can people reach out to you with their donations of $5 or more so they can get a Frustrated Grad Podcast tote bag? Where can they tweet those donations?
With a DVD of like the Jeffrey Bear.
Yeah, Jeffrey Bear tour hit in Chicago. I do love those Jeffrey Bear documentaries though.
I do too.
I think I've seen all of them. Yeah.
My Twitter is at Anthony Hoffman. You can find me on Facebook. Just search Anthony Hoffman. And my Instagram is Tony Hoffman Chai. That's Tony Hoffman, CHI.
And if you've been to the Intercontinental Hotel in Chicago and have taken the audio tour and have taken pictures of the underground passages that used to be speakeasies, You can tweet those pictures at me on Twitter at FrustratedGrad for the podcast. And you can tweet them at me personally at Zach Reviews. I am also on Facebook at Facebook.com/Zach Hughes. Surprise. Also on YouTube at YouTube.com/Zach Hughes. Both ways spelled Z-A-C Hughes, because that's the cool way to spell it. And you can find the podcast on an update. The podcast will no longer be posted to YouTube.com/FrustratedGrads. It will now be found on my YouTube channel at YouTube.com/Zach Hughes. That's Z-A-C Hughes, because YouTube, in all their wisdom, decided to demonetize any channel with a lower lifetime viewership than 10,000 views. So the channel is no longer monetized. So go over to YouTube.com/Zach Hughes for all the video episodes of the podcast. You can find the audio version of the podcast at the typical places, iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever you want to call it, as well as Google Play Podcasts, Stitcher, Player.fm, and if we're not on the podcast player of your choosing, hit me up at frustratedgrad@gmail.com to find out how to get on there. Hey, this is what we call housekeeping. At least I'm not like Mark Maron and do this at the top of the show. Anyway, that's it for this episode of the Frustrated Grad Podcast. Thanks for watching it on the video version, and thanks for listening, and that's all you get for today. How dare you, sir? Now, for our audio listeners who have fallen asleep long enough that they are still listening, this is bonus time. All right. So, any titles that stand out in your mind? I was just spitballing in the notes as we were going, but my two suggestions were Fart Lives Matter and German Farts Matter, but I feel like that those might be slightly disrespectful, so I don't want to equate black people with farts, so what other options do we have?
Are we talking about radio, a lot of fan there?
Yeah. Venomous radio tangents. Rick and Morty special sauce, because that could relate to both Rick and Morty stories, technically. Spray that Szechuan sauce. Rick and Morty. Morty needs a name. Morty needs a porn name. Let me see.
Mr. Meesex.
Meesex in the city. That just sounds like bad grammar. Fart finds. I'm trying to think of something with fart and a fine. Fine for farts. Cash for farts.
Felony farts.
Felonious farts. Felony fart. Just singular. How about that?
Sure. Yeah.
All right, so tweet us with the hashtag #FelonyFart and tell us about the worst fart that you've had that got you in trouble. At FrustratedGrad. Anyway.
Hopefully not arrested.
All right, that's it for this episode officially. Thanks for listening all the way to the end, and here's what you've been waiting for.